Merton Schreiber was the 39th governor of Wisconsin, having served as lieutenant governor under Patrick Lucy before he was given an ambassadorship.
He and his wife Elaine campaigned, hosted, and made a tradition of watching election returns together during Schreiber's many years in politics. Later on, he had a distinguished career as a government relations consultant.
Schreiber's attention to civic duty and personal compassion hasn't diminished over the years, but when his wife was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, Schreiber struggled along with her to live a meaningful life, to take care of himself, and learn how best to navigate their new challenges. He's also been instrumental in the creation of practices to help people with Alzheimer's and those caring for them.
Martin Schreiber is the author with Kathy Brighton Butcher of the new book, My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver. He joins us here in the studio. Governor Schreiber, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much. What an honor for me to be here. Thank you.
Well, we're very glad that you could come here in studio. You were actually in town because you were doing work with the Alzheimer's Association.
The Alzheimer's Association is just a truly terrific organization, and if it wouldn't be for them, I don't know if I would be here today because of the great toll that the anxiety and depression and grieving was taking on my life, and me being unaware of the fact that I couldn't do it alone. And no caregiver can really do it alone, but it was the Alzheimer's Association that just made such a significant impact and continues to make a significant impact on people's lives.
Well, and as we said, your book is called My Two Elaines, and you write about there being two Elaines, the woman you married and had children and adventures with, and the Elaine who is now living with Alzheimer's disease. Tell us about your first Elaine.
Well, my first Elaine I met when I was a freshman in high school, and it was Latin class, and her last name Thaney, my last name Schreiber, so we sat next to one another, and I knew right away that she was the woman that I wanted as my wife and the mother of my children. And just a marvelous kind of friend and companion. We went through campaigns. She helped me in every one of them, and when I lost an election, she never let me feel defeated. So then, As we raised four children and 13 grandchildren and five great-grandchildren, things began to happen in her life. She would get lost going to and from places where she had gone many years before. She was a marvelous cook, and some of the things that she cooked just simply weren't very good anymore, and trouble remembering some things. And I began to understand that there's got to be some kind of issue here. And she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And upon that diagnosis, I wish I would have known that there were two patients that were confronting this disease, the person with dementia and also the caregiver. And if I would have known that, I could have made life better for my wife, Elaine. I could have made life better for friends and family and loved ones, and also life better for myself. And I then went through a process of seeing new things happening every day. I went through a process of seeing my wife change from someone who I loved and knew to someone who I never knew before. And as that progressed, and as I saw these changes come through, I missed out on understanding what the disease was like. And I have concluded if Alzheimer's is bad, worse than Alzheimer's is ignorance of the disease. And I also learned, and much too late, that rather than worrying about the storm to pass, try and learn how to dance in the rain. There is no caregiver that's ever going to dance. But the fact of the matter is, if we can better understand the disease, if we can better understand the importance of entering their world, if we can understand that in order for me to be a good caregiver for my second Elaine, in order for me to do that, I had to let go of the first Elaine. It's very painful. It's very, very difficult. But now when she doesn't recognize who I am, it's not troubling because I know it's the second Elaine. I know her brain is broken, and no matter how many times she asks me the same question, no matter how many times she may do things that are utterly unique and never thought of before, I know that this is the second Elaine and an opportunity to love someone in quite a different way. So in some ways, it's a tough goal, But in some ways, I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to have learned some things, to have given her an opportunity for more moments of happiness than she would have had if I continued to be ignorant about the disease and the impact that it takes.
Well, and one of the things that you learn from as you're writing this book is you find many letters and journals that Elaine had been keeping during, as her illness progressed. What was that like for you to have that window into her thought process and her emotions as she was going through something with you, but her own struggle?
Oh, so remarkable that was to find her notes. When the diagnosis was made, you know, we talked together and we prayed together. And I had no idea until I read those notes the degree of courage and the desire to want to try and be your best. I had no idea of the courage that it takes for someone who is diagnosed with dementia to continue on. And I also had no idea on how much she depended upon me as a caregiver. And I wrote the book to try and make caregivers understand that their loved one depends on them. And if they, the caregiver, doesn't take care of themselves, they are depriving their loved one of some very important, not only moments of joy, but the care and understanding that is so necessary as you help someone go through this journey of dementia. And I've learned, for example, you can't argue with Alzheimer's. I learned how important it is, for example, what I call therapeutic fibbing. Elaine asked me many times, you know, how her parents are, and I would tell her that they're both dead. Well, the shock and the disappointment on her face as she realized she hadn't properly attended to their funeral, and now, with therapeutic fibbing, she asked me how her parents are, and I say they're fine. They're really doing well. And if I would have thought about therapeutic fibbing some 56 years ago when I first got married, could you imagine what kind of marriage we would have had? Or if I would have thought about it in any of my statewide campaigns, I would have been really up on it. But for a caregiver to better understand the fact that there are two people, and I had to let go of the first Elaine, so very, very difficult, in order for me to be a good caregiver of my second Elaine. And you can't expect someone with a broken leg to run a 100-yard dash, and you can't expect someone with a broken brain to be the same kind of wonderful, caring person they were before, because that person is gone, and you have to understand it and move on from there and do your best.
We're speaking with former Wisconsin Governor Martin Schreiber. He's the author of a new book, My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver. And I have to say that I was really touched by how very honest and really open you were about the struggles that you had in the moment when you were trying to do it all. You thought that you needed to be the sole caregiver, that taking care of Elaine was the only responsibility you had, and so you got into some bad habits. Your health really suffered. You talked about drinking too much as a way of coping. And what would you offer to those caregivers out there right now who are really struggling, who have not found those support networks? And you speak especially to men, because it's so ingrained in being a man that you have to be able to do it all. What would you like to say to them?
Well, first of all, understand you cannot do it alone. Next, I would say find out more about the disease and understand how a person with dementia lives in their own world, and how important it is for us, for the caregiver, to join the world of the person with dementia. Elaine's look at life is just what is immediately in front of her, not 5 minutes from now, or not 5 minutes ago. And if we better understand that their life is very small and very direct and very relatively simple. Once we understand that, we can forget about all of the things that they might do that are more silly or more foolish. But I would also say that in learning about the disease, you will understand very clearly that all of the Navy sailing and all of the Army's marching and all the beer that's brewed and all of the whiskey that's distilled is not going to change this Alzheimer's situation. And so to seek help, and the Alzheimer's Association is so wonderful in providing that kind of assistance and if it wouldn't be for them, I don't know where I would be. But seek help and don't be afraid to ask for it. If you are a man and you're a caregiver, you prove you're a man and you prove your strength by asking for help. Because if you don't do that, you're foolish. And you're foolish because what you're doing is depriving yourself of health and the opportunity to be a good caregiver, and you're depriving your loved one, your wife, of an opportunity to have someone around who is clear-thinking, who is able to show affection and to show a love that is not going to be tainted by anger and frustration and disappointment.
We're talking with former Wisconsin Governor Martin Schreiber. He's the author of the book My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver.
And we'd love to hear from you. Are you dealing with Alzheimer's with your partner or in your family? What have you learned along the way? What advice would you like to share with other people? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. Martin Schreiber stays with us. He's a former Wisconsin governor and the author of the book, My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving as an Alzheimer's Caregiver.
We'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you dealing with Alzheimer's with your spouse or in your family? What's your experience like, and how has it changed as the disease has progressed? What advice would you like to share with other people? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Governor Schreiber, I want to go back to something you talked about maybe not always needing to be as literal or perhaps as truthful with Elaine about things as you might have felt you should have been with the first Elaine when she would ask you something or say something. And there was an anecdote in the book that really made me chuckle when your second Elaine asked you how old she was. And your response was?
Well, I said, how old do you want to be? And that comes with better understanding the disease. And, well, the other day, what happened was we were together, and she always asked me, will I keep her? And I says, yes, I'll keep you. And well, she says, how long? Now, she asked me this many times, and I wanted to give her assurance. So, okay, I said, I will keep you for 1 billion years. And she looked so sad. I says, why are you sad? She says, I don't think I could take you that long. And so those are the kinds of things that we have a wonderful communication in talking about some very, very simple things. 3 or 4 topics. Where are the children? Well, the children are at school. How am I doing? Fine. I went to the doctor. What did he say? I said, my shoulder's coming good. What else did the doctor say? I asked her. She didn't know. I said, well, the doctor said I should always listen to my wife. And one other point, which gives you a sense, we're having lunch, and she started to cry. I says, why are you crying? She looked at me, and she says, I'm beginning to love you more than my husband. Well, I didn't ask her, what's wrong with your turkey husband? I didn't do that. But the fact of the matter is, understanding her world meant that it was working, that our souls were touching and our hearts were touching. Even though she did not know or recognize me as her husband, she did know and recognize me as someone who was willing to share their time and their emotions and their heart. And so if we understand that and know that it's their world which is needing a hug and security, we can hopefully let go of the fact that they may not remember who you are. They may sing every Christmas carol at Christmas time, but not know what Christmas is about, because you would have dealt with all of that pain when you would have decided that you let go of your first Elaine or let go of the person who you loved and now is you love in a different way because they're a completely different person.
Do you ever feel, maybe guilty is the word, for having those moments with your second Elaine? Do you ever feel like you're not being faithful to your first Elaine?
No, because the first Elaine is gone, and I recognize that. I tell you, there is a lot of guilt, you know. I did not want to be responsible for putting Elaine into a home. And in working with my counselor through the Alzheimer's Association, my counselor helped me understand that I was not putting Elaine anyplace. I was giving her an opportunity to be who she is now, and so important. But then there's another aspect that's important for caregivers to understand, and I'm going to paraphrase what my counselor said. She said that I'm paraphrasing because she talks much gentler than this, but directly, I have no right as a caregiver to tell my children or Elaine's siblings or friends and neighbors how they should handle this disease, because everyone has to handle this their own way. I'm grieving as a husband, but my children were grieving as children, of course, and her siblings were grieving in that manner. So they have to handle that in their own way. And as long as I thought that it was my way, that they had to handle this disease in the way I wanted, as long as I thought that, so much frustration and energy wasted. And once you deal with some of these very important mental issues, it helps caregiving become an easier kind of opportunity to share this kind of emotion and understanding with your loved one.
I think that's very true for other types of grief, too, that no two people will grieve even the same person in the same way.
Yes.
Let's go to our phones, and we have Gregan in Milwaukee. Hi, Gregan.
Hello.
What would you like to share?
I just wanted to say that I feel Mr. Shriver's message here is very applicable to other long-term or chronic mental illnesses as well, to accept and understand that the person who is struggling with either, you know, severe depression or other forms of mental illness, you have to live within their world and work within the space that they're in and accept them for who they are. I'll take my comment off the air.
Great. Thanks so much. Have you seen it resonate with other people who might not be dealing with Alzheimer's, but other chronic
not only with other chronic mental illness, but also caregivers for a cancer patient, for example. In other words, the more you think that you can handle all of this yourself, and the more you internalize on what is going on, and the less you get about your business in making sure that you continue an expanded life, the more you contract, the more difficult it is, no matter what kind of care you're giving in what kind of illness.
You talk about loneliness that you dealt with, and I think a lot of people might be surprised. I mean, you and Elaine as a couple had a very robust social life and public life, and yet you really suffered from loneliness.
Well, that happens, and I lost my wife, but I'm still married. In other words, no longer the person to talk to have as a companion, to share things with. But by the same token, whereby the first Elaine, we would go maybe and look at the Swiss Alps and say, what a wonderful thing, and enjoy each other's company. Now Elaine and I can go and look at a tree and admire that tree with the same kind of warmth of feeling for each other that we would have if it would be the Swiss Alps. And so this whole, well, let's just summarize it. The more we can enter into their world, the better it's going to be. And a salute to all caregivers, because when you're a caregiver, you're not acknowledged. Elaine and I would go out for lunch with friends, and she would fight so hard to appear normal, and she was successful in doing that. So after we completed our visit, the people would call me and say, oh, Elaine is doing so wonderful and so forth. And I'm thinking, you know, they don't understand. But by the same token, I did not have the courage to tell them, look, there's something that's happening in the other 23 hours of the day. And had I shared that more, I know that I would have gotten more help, better chance for respite care, less irrational irritability, and also less of an impact on my own personal health.
Let's go back to the calls. We have Wendy in Duluth up. Hi, Wendy.
Hi there. So I'll try to be quick. My father passed away from Alzheimer's. Gosh, it's been almost 17 years ago now. But a year before he passed away, I had an opportunity to just try to talk to him. Of course, having a conversation was difficult. But I asked him about something that he had said to me when I was a child that hurt me for years and years and years. And he looked at me with the truest sense of honesty and said, I would never have said that. And it wasn't until after my father passed away that I came to the understanding where I am today that Alzheimer's, you know, sort of God's prank, Alzheimer's took away all of society's growth on this spirit and left him with the true spirit. That day when I spoke with him and he said, I would never have said that to you, I love you, I believe it was his true spirit. I believe that Alzheimer's got rid of all of the societal garbage and left the true spirit. And in some ways I felt like, wow, this might be the, now that I look back, this might have been the moment of real clarity when I spoke to him, and yet it was so far into his disease.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Wendy. And in just a few seconds that we have left, Marty, does that really ring true with you?
Well, it does. I was thinking about our Christmas, and it was one of the finest Christmases I can remember because we didn't worry about buying presents, wrapping presents, about what would be happening when and where. And it was just a true touching and meeting of the hearts, and all stripped away the societal impact.
Well, Governor Shriver, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you.
His book is My Two Elaines, and it documents his experience as an Alzheimer's caregiver.